We'll do it live!
You are listening to the AMC Report with your host, Ryan Dawson.
All right, so at the end of the last interview, the person I interviewed right before you, at the end of her interview too, Syrian Girl's her nickname, or Mimi Alaham, or she has several online personalities, if that's what most people know her as. Now, upon her request, I am going to censor her last name and change her identity. So when you, the audience, hear my voice chime in with her nickname, I'm just covering up her actual identity, which she has every right to do, and I completely understand it. She's had her computer attacked, she's got a number of stalkers, she doesn't need to be dealing with any of that extra crap on top of this court case which we're going to discuss. She has been attacked by some of these neocons in regards to the claims about chemical weapons used or not used in Syria. And I know her work and your work were dovetailing together, so I want your two cents on the case. For what you can say anyway, what has been happening?
Well, I can. There are two individuals who have been claiming expertise. And one is a guy named Dan Cazetta. Another is a guy named Elliot Higgins. And basically, these two people would be the kind of internet personalities that basically nobody serious would ever give any time to. But because of the failure of the due diligence of the mainstream press, first Mr. Higgins and then Mr. Cazetta were treated as if they really had some true expertise on the matters related to the nerve agent attack in August of 2013 in Damascus. Mr. Higgins somehow was lionized, particularly in the New Yorker magazine, as a guy who sits at his couch, has not any formal education, but has somehow become a genius about weapons and how they work. And Mr. Cazetta has misrepresented himself as an expert on chemical weapons, when in fact all of the information one can collect on him, and there's quite a bit that I have collected, shows that he's nothing more than a self-described expert about matters he has no expertise on at all. I inadvertently became engaged with both Mr. Higgins and Cazetta because the New York Times had quoted each of them in different articles as providing information that turned out to be absolutely false. And I initially engaged in discussions with them, treating them as if they might know what they were doing. But it rather quickly became clear that they were, in fact, fakes. And in any case, Mr. Cazetta was claiming that the September UN report on the attack in Damascus, on the nerve agent attack in Damascus, had found soil samples that contained a chemical called hexamine, and that the presence of this chemical indicated that the perpetrator of the attack had to be the Syrian government. It turns out, of course, that hexamine is used in the manufacture of military explosives. So these chemical warheads would have certainly had some amount of explosive. In fact, my colleague Richard Lloyd and I had analyzed the chemical munition. We, in fact, were the first ones to understand and publish how this munition worked. And it turns out there was a small amount of high explosives in that warhead to break open the warhead, the canister that contains the chemicals. So it's no surprise that hexamine would be found in soil samples, because that would be a residue from the explosive. In any case, Mr. Cazetta claimed that he had a high level of knowledge of the chemistry of sarin production, the nerve agent. And so I engaged him in a discussion. During this discussion, he was unable to provide a single scientific reference, not one scientific reference, to support his claim. I had done some work looking into the production of sarin, and so I was able to provide him with information about how sarin is produced, and he was unable to provide me with any information that would show that sarin would be produced in a different way. And so eventually, one of the big problems with hexamine being used in the production of sarin is that it is nearly insoluble in isopropanol, which is an important precursor in the production of sarin. So if you were producing sarin and you were to use hexamine, you could not dissolve the hexamine in significant quantities into the isopropanol that was bath that you were using to produce the sarin. So I basically pointed this out to him, and he could not explain how this problem could be resolved. And in the process of raising these questions, I actually contacted
Syrian girl,
who I knew to be a chemist because I was watching her on Twitter, and I could see from her voice, I didn't know her and still don't know her, from her voice that she was a trained chemist. And I simply asked her if she could find me certain information on the chemical properties, the solubility properties of hexamine in isopropanol, which I was unable to get from open sources.
Syrian girl
was very professional. She immediately found the information that I requested, provided me with the information and the original documents that showed where the information was obtained from. And I then provided that to Mr. Cazetta and asked him how you could produce sarin with this hexamine material. He had no explanation. He then claimed that that Akka Sellstrom was the head of the UN team that investigated the Damascus attack. He then, Cazetta then said that Akka Sellstrom had confirmed to him that hexamine was used in the production of sarin by the Syrian government. So I wrote Professor Sellstrom and asked him if he had in fact stated this, and he wrote back to me and said that he had not made such a statement. So I showed the emails between Professor Sellstrom and me to Mr. Cazetta. And when he saw the emails, he basically said he can't talk with me anymore. He has no basis for talking with me anymore.
He ran out of lies.
I'm sorry?
He ran out of lies. Maybe he wrote a bold-faced lie. You called him out on it, and then he had no other option, really.
I decided to look into Mr. Cazetta's credentials further, and I found that he has a book that he constantly talks about that shows he's an expert on chemical weapons, and I was able to review the book and found that it was nothing more than a manual in which most stuff was just pedestrian stuff about chemicals that were copied out of other documents. So
this, reading Alan Dershowitz. No,
I'm so, yeah, right. So, right. So it turned out that he had not demonstrated any expertise, in this book as an author of this book. He had only demonstrated that he could copy things from other manuals.
Judith Miller's was pretty bad too, and yes, it came with the same kind of BS about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. It's amazing to me because it's the exact same lie, except instead of saying WMDs, they say chemical weapon, which is a WMD.
Yes, so I reproduced some sections of his book for people to see, and I enclosed that in a document along with some articles that he had referred to, which showed that he had no idea what he was talking about, and had this thing posted on the web.
Sorry, I do enjoy it when an academic completely owns some charlatan. It's fun.
Yes, yes. So, unknown to me, Mr. Cazetta had written to
Syrian Girl
University and had actually accused her of manufacturing sarin in a laboratory at the university. Now, this was a serious violation of anti-terrorist laws. In fact, you can go to prison for making a false allegation of terrorist activities.
He also wrote with all the false titles. I'm an expert in this and that. And
right.
This, yeah.
He claimed that he was an expert about things that he was not an expert about. So I wrote the university and the university security people. And I contacted an agent who I know at the FBI who works on anti-terrorism, and provided him with a copy of the letter I sent to the university, and have been waiting to see what will happen. And so that's the situation right now. So, and I have posted on the 1 year anniversary of the attack on in Damascus, the nerve agent attack, Thursday, August 21, I also posted the letters I sent out about Mr. Cazetta's false allegations on the web. So we'll see what happens with regard to this matter. But I sincerely hope that Mr. Cazetta will be eventually contacted by the appropriate authorities in the UK in coordination with the appropriate authorities in Australia and in the United States. But we'll have to see what happens.
Unfortunately, I think they won't, because they are towing the government line. But legally, that's what ought to happen. And I know that she
That's what
is,
should happen.
Well, it should, definitely should. And she's taking legal action. And
I totally support her actions.
I decided recently, after talking to her, she's been my friend for a long time. Yes. I'm going to help finance as much of that as I can. And yes, we'll do a fundraiser for her for that. Because that's just, both of us get called a lot of names, and, because when you have when you're an activist, or especially myself, I speak on TV and radio and so on, and so I get some haters. But what he did is totally criminal. Like, I have thick skin, I don't care.
It is absolutely criminal.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely criminal, and I document this in the letter. I refer to laws that he violated in the letter.
And she really, he was stupid enough to put it in writing. So she's got a slam dunk case if she can afford it, basically. She'll win. There's no way he can.
I agree.
Yeah. So, I agree. He just basically laid down in his own coffin. Well, I forgot the phrase, I made one up, but he basically screwed himself.
But this is in part a result, in my view, in my own personal view, of the failure of the due diligence of the mainstream press. The New York Times should not have published, as they did, an article that quotes Mr. Cazetta as an expert who was able to point the finger at the Syrian government because hexamine was found in the samples. The New York Times did not do due diligence to determine whether or not Mr. Cassetta actually knew what he was talking about. It's remarkable that an organization like the New York Times would publish such technical nonsense.
Well, I mean, curveball, anthrax, thought.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
I think people hear a word like hexamine. It's not like a layman term, you know, and they go, oh, hexamine, it sounds fancy.
No, of course not.
Yeah. And they just don't, they just trust the, oh, it's scientists. So,
the, you know, you say you've been attacked. I've been attacked too over my career.
And I'm not trying to win a prize or anything.
I'm just explaining. I have been lucky in part because I have on numerous occasions talked about findings that the public was interested in that flew against what the prevailing understanding was in the population. And it turns out that every time I was proven correct. So I find it hard to understand why an individual who is a scholar who has established themselves not only as a tenured faculty member at a place like MIT, but as a person who has repeatedly gone on record in public discussions and proven to be correct, does not get a question from the New York Times about a technical claim made by a nobody. I mean,
this literally is not a couch potato nothing. Also,
yeah, I'm not trying to elevate myself. I could be wrong.
To be fair, you have credentials. MIT. What's that rinky-dink university? I mean, come on.
The reason I have not been proven wrong in any public matter, is I have been asked on numerous occasions about public matters I did not have knowledge of, and my immediate response was I don't have any knowledge of that. I didn't make any claims ever about things I did not know about. And so the things I knew about, I was right on. And so I just find it hard to understand how the mainstream press can not do a simple job of just checking with somebody who has an established record relative to publishing a nobody.
But you're talking about people who screw up basic geography and like during some of the invasion, the hype to go to Iraq. I'm not talking about New York. They have the wrong countries in the wrong place and the names. No one really checks it. I think it's so much more top-down than people realize. They're literally told, read this talking point, shut up. Like, no one's checking.
Yes, but the New York Times is a great source of news information. I mean, it screws up. You know, you can't be publishing as much as the New York Times is publishing and not have errors. So I'm not happy with the Times at the moment because there are a bunch of things that I've been working on that I actually do not think they've done a good job on. But I do think they are a great newspaper, and I subscribe to them, and I read them, and I use them heavily. I depend on them heavily. I don't believe everything they say because I know enough from things I understand to know that they screw up. But the areas that I have some special knowledge of, I can say with a high level of confidence that they did not do their due diligence. That's what bothers me. Getting it wrong on occasion happens to all of us. But I think the New Yorker is another journal that I have had extensive experience with. It's outrageous that the New Yorker would publish this fluff piece on Mr. Higgins when the reporter did not have any idea what he was talking about. It's just hard to believe.
I think this is a consequence of politics meets journalism. Like, you can have a great paper magazine on certain things, but when it comes to, say, U.S. foreign policy or monetary policy or something like that, there's enough pressure there where it seems like the Pentagon has its own, that they know to go to who they know are going to say what they want. If you, because a lot of the neocons that wrote all the BS about mobile weapons labs and chemicals under the palaces, talking about William Sapphire, Judith Miller, etc., they still get hired and rehired, and they still come back on programs. William Crystal, Robert Kagan, they still go back to televised TV, and they're wrong on everything, and they still get to return and say something when they got everything wrong in the past. And someone like yourself, who's been right on what he knows about, is pretty much ignored in those.
Well, look at our economic advisors. Look at our military advisors. Look at the kind of people President Obama, who, like I said earlier, who I supported and continue to support relative to the alternative.
Look at the ambassadors. It's pure nepotism. Oh, here, you can't. Yeah, you gave a lot of money. You get to be ambassador of such and such.
Yeah, so it is a problem. It is a problem, and it's a pervasive problem in Western society at this time. It really is pervasive. There's a problem with the leadership. There's a problem with the leadership at our universities. There's a problem with the leadership in our corporate world. There's a problem with our leadership in the political world. And we're seeing the consequences of failed leadership throughout our society, the Western society. And we're also seeing the consequences of the complete lack of accountability that has become the standard. But I also have to say, we are seeing consequences of a population that is not paying attention. This could not happen if the population paid attention. So we do have a problem.
Yeah, well, we're very good at entertainment, at least.
Yes. The news has become entertainment rather than news.
Yeah, it's some of the market forces have pushed it to say sensationalism sells, so
yes,
that's what's going to be reported. And yeah, well, I don't think we're going to fix all this today, but just sticking with Syrian girl, this case, I think that I really appreciate you, all your help with that, just telling the truth about the matter anyway. And I think we both can agree that she's got full support on our end.
Yes. And let me say just one other thing, just because of some of the things that have been said about her to me. I don't know what
Syrian girl
political views are. And I don't care.
Syrian girl
has behaved in a totally professional way. She has a right to her political views, just as I have a right to mine. I do not know if I would agree with her on many of her political views or not. That is irrelevant. What is relevant is that she has conducted herself as a responsible professional. And I will not respond to any questions, as many people have sent me, about what they claim
Syrian girl
political views are. This is not an issue that is of any interest to me.
It's irrelevant, and I would just gander a guess that it's probably a lot of BS what they've said.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my feeling, too.
Because I do know her political views, and I'm not an extremist at any stretch of the
I music. Have not asked her, and I have no intention of asking her.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The issue at hand was the technical aspects of the chemical process and whether it was a smoking gun to find hexamine or not, which it wasn't. And she obviously did not do what she was accused of. I hope Mr. Cazetta gets what's coming to him, because that's completely criminal and immoral.
It is criminal and immoral. Okay, I hope this has been helpful to you.
Yes, very much, sir. And thank you for both interviews on two separate-ish topics. And I hopefully I can have you back on in the future if need be. You always have a voice here. I don't care what the New York Times is saying.
Oh, I'm not worried. I'm concerned about the public interest, not me. I mean,
I'm concerned about it all. I think what we said in the interview before about the future of Israel and the United States and democracy, whether it's going to hold or not, is very grim at this point. And we can try to turn it around, or you can just give up. So I'm going to go ahead and try at least.
So. Well, I'm not giving up either. So don't worry about
I know.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah, we all got a stake in it. So thank you for all your time. Appreciate it very much. And take care and keep fighting the good fight.
Great. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You know, as much as I appreciate and need your donations, I'd really like to see old Danny Dangle, and I've always been one to stand up for justice above all other things. So what I've done, and if you'd like to help Syrian Girl, or Mimi, then there's a red button that says Syrian Girl. It looks like the PayPal donation button right underneath the yellow button and the Bitcoins button on my page on the bottom right-hand side if you're using a desktop computer, and I believe just on the very bottom if you are using your phone. If you would like to donate to her, please click on that red Syrian Girl tab and give generously. I will guarantee you that she'll see it, and we can help her sue this criminal bastard and let justice take its course as it should and put one more neocon behind bars, or at least in financial strife, which is exactly what he deserves. Now, she may be taking steps in the near future for a subscription button or her own kind of financing campaign, but I'm doing my part here to do the funding, and it's up right now, so go ahead and click the red Syrian Girl button and give a donation today. And if you have some change left over, the yellow button goes to ANC Report. I have a staff now. I'm going to give them free t-shirts. I don't really have much to pay them with, but if the donations come, I'd love to kick some money over to Ricky and Brian, who have been helping the site. You may have noticed the new logos we have, and the artwork is improving, and some of the weird thumbnails I used to post are being corrected. That's because of these guys, these graphic designers, and they deserve it too. And all of that's under the yellow donate button. So kick some over to Mimi, and if you have any left over, I'm talking $5, whatever, please consider hitting the yellow donate button and keeping these shows on the air, as well as the reports, and paying starving graphic designers who deserve a lot more than they ever get. Everyone knows that. And next on the show will be either Norman Finkelstein or Thomas Mountain, depending on the time zone and situation. So stay tuned, and thank you all for your support.